Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, like us on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and at Green Connects DC. So what do you drive? America has a love affair with the vehicle, and despite all the attempts to wean us from our cars, SUVs and trucks, we still love our cars. We've seen a growth in electric and hybrid vehicles, but the numbers are still really small, especially considering that there are millions of cars sold every year and millions of cars on the road. But gas prices are at record lows, which you think would also threaten the sale of electric and hybrid vehicles. But then we have NOAA's report that 2014 was the hottest year on record, and we have extreme weather like we're having now. So we obviously still need to be careful about our energy use. And we know, by the way, transportation is one of the top energy consumers on the planet. And that is up to us to choose. We need to reduce our carbon emissions, and the government helps us by providing tax incentives to persuade us to drive green. Here to talk about the government's incentives for our driving choices, and by the way, whether they work, is one of the most knowledgeable people on the planet about this. Anna Schneider is Vice President of Industry Government Relations for Volkswagen Group of America and has spent her entire career in government relations in the auto industry. It's kind of amazing. First at Mitsubishi, a bit at Toyota, and now at VW, where she climbed the ranks to her current prestigious post, which is great. By the way, full disclosure, I also spent time in the car business. I worked at Chrysler in their electric car division. And an interesting, funny story, my father did advertising for Volkswagen when I was a little girl. So that is a whole nother topic of conversation. So welcome to Green Connections, Anna.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So let's sort of start at the 80,000-foot level. How would you characterize the regulatory environment for automakers today?
I would argue we are the most regulated industry. Between fuel economy requirements, the greenhouse gas regulations, zero emission vehicle mandates in California and the other, we call them ZEV states. They're the states under the Clean Air Act that require us to sell zero emission vehicles. There are chemical regulations. That's the TSCA reform we're looking at. That stands for Toxic Substance Control Act. We have safety regulations. We are inundated with a regulatory environment that we have to navigate in order to succeed.
What is the impact of low gas prices?
It's really starting to take an impact on our advanced clean diesel, our TDI models. When you pull up to a gas station now, you get sticker shock when you look at the difference between gas and diesel. I would argue diesel's the more fuel-efficient choice. Diesel vehicles emit 30% less CO2 than a traditional gasoline or ICE engine. They are 30% more fuel-efficient. Take our TDI Passat, which is a 5-passenger sedan. It goes almost 800, to be exact, 795 miles on one tank of fuel. And that is significantly more than a gasoline engine. So the cost of ownership is approximately the same, I would argue. But, you know, there's no incentive to buy diesel when gas is almost a dollar less in some parts of the country.
Yeah, I filled up my car the other day for $25, and it kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we could do that.
It's been a very long time. But we have finally gotten into alternative fuel vehicles. You guys obviously have the clean diesel. You started with the e-Golf, et cetera, which you just won an award for. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The recent Motor Trend Car of the Year award. How have regulations affected the growth of alternative fuel vehicles? Do these tax incentives help? Do the maybe regulations is too narrow. I mean, how do all the government policies affect the growth of the alternative fuel markets?
Well, the tax incentives definitely help. We introduced our e-Golf, which is a 100% battery electric vehicle, last fall. And under the Energy Efficiency and Security Act, of course, there's a $7,500 tax credit for the consumer that purchases a battery electric vehicle. In the states, different states have different incentives. California has a $5,000 incentive. California also offers non-monetary incentives. They have this sticker program to get access to their HOV lanes, and that is a huge benefit if you've traveled anywhere in California.
Yeah, I think Virginia has that too.
Yes, we do.
One of the issues, and by the way, I see that Obama's recent budget increased the tax incentive to $10,000, which I thought was pretty interesting. One of the key issues about sales is infrastructure. You know, I interviewed the head of electric vehicles and infrastructure for Ford, and I said, Michael, which happens first? And he started laughing, and he said, both. So how does infrastructure play into this? I mean, you know, can somebody pull up and get clean diesel at any gas station? You know, and obviously there's charging station issues and being able to charge while you're shopping or in a restaurant, besides in your home or your office, parking lot. We don't have outlets in our parking lots generally, right? So how much of an issue is infrastructure? And it's a huge issue on Capitol Hill right now. I mean, it'd be nice if they could actually pass an infrastructure bill.
Yes, we would like to see the tax extenders bill that included incentives for infrastructure to be renewed once again. They've been doing it on a year-by-year basis. Very hard to build a business plan around that. So you asked about diesel. Diesel's available at 55% of gas stations now. So I would argue it's no longer really an infrastructure issue for our TDI clean diesel. However, on the charging front, you know, many people say it's a chicken and the egg story. Well, on the charging front, we're not a charging company. I mean, we don't build these DC fast charging stations that are the preferred model of charging. But we recently announced at the Washington, D.C. Auto Show a partnership with ChargePoint and BMW, and we are putting 100 fast charging stations in two specific corridors. Infrastructure is definitely part of the equation if you're going to drive a battery electric vehicle. So this will help. And we have to encourage employers to put fast charging stations in their parking garages. We obviously have a whole row of them. But, you know, you're right. People in condominiums or townhouses, I mean, it's difficult to put the charging units where they need to be. So until there's greater penetration of these fast charging stations, it's going to be a downward pressure on the sale of these vehicles.
What do you think needs to happen to increase EV and hybrid sales? I mean, as you say, that's amazing. I didn't realize that clean diesel was available at 60% of gas stations. That's pretty amazing. But EV and hybrid sales, what do you think it's going to take to incentivize or increase the sales of those?
Well, clearly the infrastructure, the price has to come down. They do come at a price premium. Most companies are leasing the vehicles to get more consumers behind the wheel. You mentioned the president's budget package. His $10,000 incentive is actually cash on the hood. You don't have to wait till tax time to file for your $7,500 tax credit. This would be made available at the dealership. Now, I don't know if that budget package is going to pass. It certainly would be a bonus for EV sales. But in the interim, it's just a matter of bringing the cost of the batteries down, asking more states perhaps to purchase these vehicles for their state fleets. A lot of the ZEV states are forcing us to sell these vehicles, but there is no mandate for customers to buy these vehicles. So it would be tremendously helpful if state government fleets and even the federal government would kind of walk the walk and talk the talk and buy some of these cars.
Well, the government has bought a lot of electric vehicles.
Not enough Volkswagens.
Not enough. Okay, fair point. You talked about the cost of batteries, and I know you guys are opening some new plants, and you have, you know, some amazing plants, as we were talking about offline before we started here on air. But are you looking at acquisitions for battery plants? Are you, you know, how are we going to do that? I mean, what is Volkswagen doing to try to bring down the cost of batteries?
Well, we have a partnership with Ballard, and we also are looking at our own battery production. We have 107 factories around the world, so we're looking at all sorts of drivetrains. Something you don't see in the U.S. other than in fleet vehicles is compressed natural gas. We're looking at that as well in Europe. We're trying to give consumers the option or meet all sorts of driving needs.
What are the market drivers for VW purchases in the U.S.? I mean, you know, how do you combat the Buy American vibe? How does VW deal with the fact that it's not an American company?
Well, we do have a manufacturing plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And if I may toot our own horn, it is the world's only platinum LEED certified manufacturing plant in the world. So we are building in the U.S. And last fall, we announced that we're also building an SUV. So we're expanding the plant, adding another 2,000 jobs in Chattanooga. We build Beetle. We build Jetta and Golf in Mexico. So we're part of the North American region and trying to do more and more production in the U.S. When we built this second SUV line, the ultimate plan is to build not just one, but two SUVs, a five-passenger and a seven-passenger car. So we are looking at additional U.S. sourcing, but I would argue consumers are less concerned with where the vehicle is built and more concerned with the quality of the vehicle. And we offer German engineering for all.
So let's talk about you for a moment. You know, you're to say you're unique is the understatement, because first of all, you've been in the auto industry for some time and you've succeeded in climbing the corporate ladder in the auto industry as a woman, which is highly unusual. What inspired you to be in the auto industry in the first place?
I have to tell you, once you start working in the auto industry, it's really hard to move out. You don't want to move out. It's an exciting field. And I have to say my time at Volkswagen Group, which is now coming up on 7 years, it's the first time I've been part of the sales and marketing headquarters. You really feel like you are part of the car industry. When I report on legislative changes, I'm talking to product developers and launch specialists and engineers, and you really have a sense of, you know, I'm working to be an ambassador for the brands and protect our bottom line, and they're telling me exactly how legislation would impact the car. So again, all these regulations, all these safety regulations, I see firsthand crash testing and performance testing and the sales objectives and, you know, advertising, which I have to say, if you've seen our advertising, is always worth watching.
Well, I can attest to a certain amount of this because I've, you know,
you were there,
I was there. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's interesting. So it sounds like you're creating a feedback loop where what you hear outside the building, if you will, literally and figuratively, you then bring into the building, and what you hear in the building, you then share with your regulatory audiences and you see in the dealerships. But how did you get into the car business in the first place?
Well, that's an interesting story. When I first came to Washington, I worked for a public affairs firm. It was called Gray & Company. It merged with Hill & Knowlton. And I was on the account team that landed the Hyundai account. So I was part of the process of bringing the first Korean car manufacturer to the U.S. And we literally staged events like Senator Packwood driving a Hyundai Excel off a car carrier in Portland, Oregon. So it was really exciting to launch a vehicle. And at the time, it was one car. But I was their de facto Washington office. So I would go to all the trade association meetings, and I did this for both Gray & Company and then for a small boutique government relations firm called Global USA for almost 7 years. And it was there attending the trade association meetings and the Hill meetings and, you know, waiting in long lines for the Trade Act of 88 to be passed. I found out about the opening or the fact that Mitsubishi Motors was opening a lobbying shop. They had a few engineers in town that were monitoring regulations, but they wanted a voice on Capitol Hill. So I threw my hat in the ring and spent 13 years there.
Wow, good for you. What does, you know, talk to me about the the percentage of women at VW and women in the car industry in general. I mean, it's not a popular profession for women at the moment. There are recruitment issues. What is the do you happen to know the makeup, or I mean, what's your experience, perhaps anecdotally, of, you know, I mean, you're probably usually the only woman in the room, I would gather.
There was a time when I was the only woman in the room, and certainly in management team meetings, I'm frequently the only woman in the room. But you're right. Companies, including Volkswagen, are making a real effort to bring women up through the management ranks and into the boardroom. Our Canadian operations, our sales and marketing headquarters in Canada, are run by a woman. People in hiring positions look at what you know, not what you look like.
Well, that's I'm glad to hear that, and we can talk more about that offline. By the way, let me just add this, is that, you know, women are probably the top car buyer in this country. So who's making the decision, right?
Oh, it's definitely a woman, I would argue, is generally the CFO in any household. They're the ones that are online paying bills. They're the ones that definitely influence the second major purchase any couple's going to make, which is a vehicle. And regardless of whether the woman's career woman and working full time, we're still all sucked into all kinds of carpools. So we have to make sure the vehicle meets our needs. And there are several men in the office that joke, happy wife, happy life.
And it took a really long time to get a cup holder in some of these cars, I got to tell you. So what would you say to people who are, to companies that are struggling to recruit women?
Well, let's follow up on what you just said. 90% of the car buying decisions are influenced by women. You need to think like a woman and know what a woman's preferences are. And you have to design and build cars for that population. If you're going to sell cars, you have to make sure you've got something for every car buyer. And let's face it, we're 51% of the population.
You have to know your audience, and I would thereby extrapolate that to then say the more women on your team, the easier it will be to relate.
I would argue we need to see more women in the showroom, in dealerships.
That's a good point.
Because admittedly, and this is my experience as well, buying a car is intimidating. It's expensive. Yeah. And it would be helpful if you could buy a car from someone that looks like you.
Well, in fact, the research that I've seen on women in car buying reflects exactly that. That, you know, there are certain cars that rate in the top 10 for that women explore, but then there are different cars in some ways that rate in the top 5 that they actually buy. And the number one thing was customer service in all of these research reports. And it's exactly what you're saying. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Anna. I really appreciate your input and your coming here in the studio, in case I didn't say that. She's actually here live. So let us know what you drive and let us know what questions and maybe suggestions you have for Anna and Volkswagen and what she should tell Congress, in your view, to help you drive what you want to drive and safely, of course. I'll be right back with my comments and what I heard Anna say. See you shortly. Anna is amazing. She really is. It was really fun having this conversation, especially because I spent so long in the car business and I've been to so many of these shows and experienced so much of it. It's kind of my world. But I was curious. I never really thought about the car business as the most regulated industry. I mean, when she started listing all of the ways that the car industry is regulated, and obviously, you know, ZEV stats and Clean Air Act is part of it, and fuel economy standards. But think about safety regulations and chemical regulations. Do you ever think that chemical regulations apply to the car business? And then there was more. I mean, that was kind of amazing to me. It was also amazing to me to hear that diesel engines get 30% more fuel efficiency and emit 30% less CO2 than the traditional internal combustion engine. That was pretty cool. I must confess, I'm not interested in a diesel at the moment, but who knows? Maybe Anna will convince me. That the tax incentives definitely help drive alternative fuel vehicle sales and adoption, but that infrastructure, folks, we have got to get an infrastructure bill in this country passed and not go year to year. We can't do roads and bridges. We can't, I mean, it's way beyond charging stations. Infrastructure is the roads we drive on, the bridges we drive over. Think about the bridge in Minnesota several years ago that collapsed and killed people. I mean, we bug your Congress people. We have got to get an infrastructure bill. It is the economy. It is creating jobs. It is the lifeblood that we run on. Another adoption key issue, of course, is price. I mean, the price of batteries is prohibitive, but you know, it's up to us. It's a choice, right? These are what we buy, and the car makers are responding to our choices, and they're responding to what we do, not just what we say we're going to do. One of the things that completely blew me away was that the Chattanooga plant is the only platinum LEED certified manufacturing plant of any kind on the planet. I find that kind of hard to believe, I gotta tell you. But the only platinum LEED certified manufacturing plant is a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga. Okay, wrap your brain around that one. The other thing that I, you knowing me, you know I can't let go away is that we need more women in the car business. Women are 51% of the population. Women are 80-something, depending upon your statistics, percent of the car buyers on the planet. And we love you guys, but you're not us. And if you want to understand your consumer, you want to understand your buyer, you have to have more women on your team and at all levels, all the way to the top. Mary Barra, bless you. I'm glad you made it. Maybe Anna will be CEO of Volkswagen someday. Let's hope so. So tell us what you thought. Tell us what you drive. Tell us why you bought it, what you looked for, and how your decision was made. Thank you for joining us on Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, like us on Facebook, and follow me on Twitter and at Green Connects DC. See you next time.
Capital Audio Post, your one-stop shop for your post-production needs. 703-712-8757.
Our services include video editing, sound design, sound mixing, ISDN recording, and many other media-related services.
Let us finish your project no matter where you are, across the U.S. or across the world. Go to www.capitalaudiopost.com. Call us at 703-712-8757.
Let us know how we can help you finish your production.